Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hater ones, tell everybody, because everybody needs to hear this. It's a message that's going out to the world. It's 9 o'clock here sharp on the program, cocooning from the microphone. You are listening to DJ Butterfly Feces, the one, the only, except no substitutions. All right, where do I begin? Where do I begin, good people? Where do I begin? All right. When I last left us, we were in Honolulu. Okay, let me just do the brief summary. Oh, yeah, the show's brought to you by Organic OK. Oh, and there's a musician out there named Maya Harrison going all over the world, just like I was on this campaign to save it. Listen to her stuff sometime, will you? Anywho, where do I begin? All right. I lived in McKinleyville my whole life. Underachiever. Doing the bare minimum. Honestly. Just sitting around, I did everything I was doing in that town until I was getting bored and restless. Now, honestly, at one point, somebody came to me. A group of people, actually. Well, they didn't come directly to me. As soon as I was out of the house, and believe me, it was a mutual decision, I was walking my way towards the woods. There they had a camping, they had a camp out thing. They're one of those homeless people go around there camping everywhere. And anywho, sat around there, and this guy named Organic OK told me he was a wealthy guy who was going around there seeing the world, cocooning from the microphone, if you will. Anywho, it's like this. They personally asked me to join them on their world trip, their trip, to go all around and help save the world with him. Told me to get down on one knee. First, I was a little bit nervous about where this was going. And he dubbed me DJ Butterfly Feces. DJ, because I've basically been on Blog Talk Radio before. It's what I was doing back when I was living with my family. And Butterfly Feces, because he came up with this whole concept about everybody knows about that the butterfly emerging from the cocoon and taking flight and whatever. It's not because those wings are beautiful. It's a perfect metaphor for life, to grow and develop. But at the same time, good people, every creature, every sentient being leaves some kind of waste behind. I think everything does really in some way, and that, from that manure, stems life. Anywho, what I was basically, how do I put this, kind of sort of going on about was the fact that I went with him. We traveled all over, literally, to Miami, to Seattle, we just went all over, even to the west part of Hollywood. They got the restaurants over there. It's not, when you think Hollywood, the first thing you're going to think of, when you think about Hollywood, Florida. Went to Miami, but not Hollywood, Florida. When you think of Hollywood, the first thing that comes to mind is L.A., where the movie stars are. Anywho. Last episode, we were in Honolulu, Hawaii. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Let me just sum up this as briefly as possible. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You're thinking around, this place isn't paradise when you're broke. Somebody else said, what place is paradise when you're broke? Someone basically gave me an interesting conundrum. Would you rather be a rich man in a place like Oakland, California, in the hood, and you know the type, or would you rather be a very poor person in Palm Springs? You know what the thing is? The kind of guys who are rich in Oakland, that, let's not get into that sin, shall we? Please get involved with the cause. We're at 515-605-9709. 515-605-9709. As I found myself really trying hard to help these people, I don't know. I was heavily at a loss. Not enough homeless shelters. It was, you know, it was illegal in Honolulu, around Hawaii, to live in your car. The system society, they don't like homeless people. They look at them as people who basically aren't contributing. People they're not making money off of. I came up with a simple solution. Dude, put things back the way they were before the big collapse in the 80s, before the taxpayer, whatever. Fix the broken system. They'll stop being homeless people. Why especially, they seem to be going out of their way to punish homeless people. I understood why this was especially so hard. First of all, it's hard to get anything done. We don't have any money. Secondly, where do I begin? Okay, oh God, okay, here's the punchline, so just brace yourselves. Hawaii is such a expensive, lavish place. They didn't want to make things too nice and easy for the homeless people. It's the same reason you always hear some people saying, look, I once knew a person who basically said, dude, don't help the homeless people out too much. Every time somebody basically asks for money, don't agree too much, because you know what? They're just going to spend it on booze. Just going to drink themselves to death. That's what I want to do out here. And here's the big punchline. If it gets too nice out here, you know what? Yeah, I'll tell you what. They're never going to want to get off the street. I knew that was going to be the biggest problem we were going to face. I was trying to help all these people. And it's almost a conspiracy. You know, see, it really is. I try to explain this to everybody, and they all agreed. They don't want things to get better on the streets for the homeless, because then they'll stay homeless. They won't have any incentives. They're not going to try as hard. Have I made this point before? They look like it the same way a restaurant looks at you bringing in outside food. The same when the police don't want you basically carrying weapons with you. You've heard the phrase, hide behind a badge and gun? When somebody else has a gun, you feel a lot less brave. You can still hide behind that badge. A lot of them people wouldn't be so brave without a badge pinned to their chest. That's why I call it the shield. It was disgusting. I don't know what to do. I had to fight to change this law. In a way, I basically went to Organic OK and I told him, okay, yeah. Listen, here's my thing. I was thinking that maybe, just maybe, if there's enough of these guys and they're unionized and whatever, they're going to represent a majority here in Hawaii. They can't force them off to go anywhere. I mean, look, to be honest, I mean, aren't there some places in the world, say, where they just sweep the homeless to another city? Yeah. It's like sweeping trash up to basically clutter up some other, you know, like, state or something. Can't do it. It's always over here because it's an island. You do? Yeah. Look, it's like basically back in Africa. They came over there, abducted us, and they put us, like, on a big dang boat. I mean, once we were there, in America, we were stuck. Whoa, were we going to try and swim back? If we could do that easily, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation. Swim is mostly a white person's sport. That's the one sport you guys are good at, you know, that and hockey. Because brothers and sisters don't like to balance on blades and whatnot. And whatever. But, you know, yeah, well, you know. Wait, okay, be honest. Aren't most of the basically Native Hawaiians here kind of like Native Americans or whatnot? Well, they're mostly Asians. They're like Eskimos. See, in Alaska, it's really cold. At least it was before global warming, and in Hawaii, it's real hot. But, yeah, those guys are in the same basic family. I don't want to split hairs on race or nothing. No, I don't want one of those people who basically goes out. Wait, one thing I noticed, I don't mean to say this much. See, you know, it's mostly people who say the African-American community wants to split hairs on the definition of color, skin tone. That's what white people do. You're just basically more subtle about it. No, come on, man, don't do that. All right, look, we're here to talk about color, okay? This is Hawaii. These people are poor, and they need help. What are you planning to do about it? I told you, I want to unionize everybody. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? No, I mean, you're trying to tell me how to get them to help pick up garbage and whatever, and maybe get a few... Yeah, you tried your idea about trying to get everybody in some kind of beat-up Winnebago. But the one I got ain't going to work, is it, brother? And I heard that. Dang. I don't know what to do. And the one thing, I was not going to feel sorry for myself. I was tired of that. So basically what I did was I grabbed it with both hands. I told everybody my plan. Be the kind of guy who picks up garbage along the street and the whatever. Do that. You know what they told me? Same old story. Why should we? We were born in this, basically, area of Hawaii. Look how they regard us. This place has always been expensive for people. But now it's ridiculous. And they can afford to take care of us. You know how people come to this island? Come to basically a place like Hawaii. Look around. It's a lush and fertile. There's plenty of space. I know there's only so many jobs, and ever since the technology age, there's just been fewer and fewer. But dang it, it could be better than this. I had to do something. I try to get everybody to team up. Let's pick up garbage together. Let's get dressed together. Let's take care of shit together. Do it together. Together, together, together. We all basically started trying to basically stick to our guns. A lot of places we just refused to be moved. But I heard and saw at one point when somebody was basically, cops were coming around cracking hard on the homeless. And they'll do that. What are we going to fight back with against? They come here with some riot gear. I told you, I was just walking down the island, up and down. I told you we were on an island, so we couldn't necessarily bring the cars and the whatever with us. Couldn't sleep in the Winnebago this time, because once again, they got a law against sleeping in your car. Hawaii ain't making money. I wonder why somebody didn't actually do something. Come on, the homeless problem. It has to be a little bit more okay to be homeless. It has to be. Shouldn't it be? I told everybody my plan, my vision, the whole metaphor for the caterpillar spinning his cocoon, emerging a butterfly, and the drop it leaves behind that also emerges. People look back on waste or whatever. They all gave me that weird, awkward face. Somehow, when you start talking about, look, little kids talk about crap because it's so gross and smelly, and they love bodily fun. They're obsessed with anything degenerate. But when you're an adult and you're this comfortable talking about waste, there's something wrong with you. Even when you're on the dang street. Man, I don't know what to do. 15 minutes after the hour, we're here on the program, cocooning from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces. 15 minutes. It's 10:15. It's a later show we took. Please get involved with the calls. We're at 515-605-9709. It's 515-605-9709. This program is brought to you by Organic OK. And check out Maya Harrison. And she's all over the net. It's easy to find anyone on there now. What was my point? I was walking around aimlessly. I tried to tell him the problem. I tried to tell Organic, okay, look, I know you want him, it's going to grab people's attention. People hear too much about boo-boo and fertilizer and manure and how it's flourishing and how you're named after it because you think it's visionary. You think it's visionary. Somehow people stop taking you seriously. Why do people have such an aversion to manure and boo-boo? Because it's crap. Literally. I mean, you know, it's just you're always afraid of sliding down that evolutionary ladder. You want to evolve, you want to progress, you want to be clean of it all and whatever. I don't know. Anywho, I spent basically some time in the hotel room that night, the hotel room in Honolulu, Hawaii, because once again, good people, remember, we couldn't bring the cars over there. I thought about maybe if I invited basically some of them up there, they'll see that we were for real. I thought about inviting them up there because if I basically, they'll see that this is about something. But I didn't want to tell them I was traveling with a guy who was rich. I didn't want to also tell him about the fact. How do I tell them that I did have a place to stay? They might join in, but still, they'll probably say, "What right do we have to? What reason do we have to give back? Why should we give back to anybody?" And I couldn't disagree. Look what Honolulu, look what Hawaii had done to them. You know, that's the mantra of life. No matter what, in some ways, life disappoints you. It's never everything you imagine it to be, does it? Is it? Here's the thing, dude. I often imagine, basically, it's like everything is disappointing. I don't know. Why is it disappointing? I think we have these unrealistic expectations about the world is supposed to be. And by the time we're finally old enough to just, usually when we're old enough to get what we want, we're too old for it. We've outgrown it. The same old stuff doesn't basically bring you the same joy it used to. And sadly, if you're still finding joy in it at your age, there's something wrong with you. I just spend my time thinking, what am I going to do? Keep pushing for the cause. Even Organic knows that basically not everybody's going to accept the message. But almost no one is. And they have a reason not to be. I came up with an idea. I thought, okay. Go around on tour and tell everybody, all about what we are marching for the cause to do and what right we have, and there's enough of us here. We have to make it okay to at least be a vagrant, a vagabond, a term I prefer, in the good old loving town of Honolulu, maybe in all of Hawaii, maybe the world, because vagrancy is becoming a crime again. I told everybody to march with me again. I said, come on, let's go. They were all looking at me like, why? We don't want to. No, I'm telling you, we should go march across the city hall or make clear that we aren't allowed personally. No, no. Really, I told him, let's make it okay to be homeless in Honolulu. I don't know. I was at a loss. I started to thank. I wanted to make it so it was okay to basically be homeless in Honolulu. And you know what? I got some of the gang over that went to City Hall and basically demanded a few more equal rights. I got the gang to march with me. But first asked to hear their story. Sometimes you got to make friends with people before you can earn their trust. But always make sure you use that trust for something greater. To which I basically said, honestly, tell me, what is it you want? What is it you want? I marched basically right up there, you know, City Hall, and I tried to no more cause. First I asked these fine people from this town their story. They told me they were good, hard-working people who were there. They had a good job. Same old story. Budget cuts. Some of them were fired for being too old. Some of their families got too big. Some of them just fired a few people just so. Where would you want to live? Some of them said they didn't want to. If they could, they'd swim off the island. Tried to say. Some of them basically said they wanted to stay here. Some of them said, it's so beautiful here. I'll stay in Honolulu even if it means I'm homeless. Some of them said, dang, I just want to be somewhere else. Anywhere else. I go to Mexico right now because I think there might be better job and opportunity there. God. I don't know. I guess I told them my story. I'm traveling with somebody who's taking care of all of us, and we're going on trying to march towards the cause. Some of them said, you should be out here on the street helping us. He helps, too. He helps pick up stuff, garbage, too. No, whatever. I mean doing something to maybe get more, you know, places. I mean, it's not just enough for us to have a place to live. We have nothing to do, a job, and whatever. I don't know. It was a hell of a thing. Me, personally, I tried to show them how many homeless people were in the great city of Honolulu. I tried to show them how many people were there. I tried to show them how many people existed. And I tried to make it so a few of these laws were repealed, that it was okay for people to be vagrants. There. Maybe make it so we could sleep in our cars and whatnot. I don't think they budged. One of the only honest fact, they treated us like registered voters. They pretended to listen to what we had to say, told us they sympathized, they understood our problem, nodded, thanked us for our time, and pushed us out the door. The funny thing is, this is how what happens to every single voter. They make you think that your vote matters, it really doesn't. They tell you what you want to hear, push you out the door, and forget about it. And enough is what it is. They weren't helping. As we walked out there, one of them shrugged and said, See, I told you. They don't care. They don't have to. There is no culture, no civilization where there isn't somebody who isn't abused and used in any group or whatever. That is the world in which we live in. It will always be. I don't know. I found myself looking around and asking why they were being so inconsiderate with their own kind. The bare minimum I could do was ask everybody else their story. And they told me. I heard that some of them did try to live in their cars until they were arrested, until those cars were towed. I don't know. Some of us from the main United States, we always try to tell ourselves that better over here. Things were better. Better. We believe that basically Hawaii is that Isle of Paradise. Doesn't everybody who's probably not from Hawaii believe that? I believe a lot of Hawaiians over there still believe that themselves. But it's not. If you just look at other countries, whatever, but the island of Hawaii, we all like to believe that, you know, what becomes a mom when you think of Hawaii? I mean, before you heard this program, before you heard me talking about how bad things are over there, for the bathing community, what do you believe? Me, I had my work more than cut out for me. Now, me personally, I'll tell you one thing. I was racking my head, trying to think about how this thing is going to work. Okay, I'm going to go to basically organic, and I'll tell him in a way that, let's just say I tried, and it didn't work, because this is the circumstances of life. I know we had some good progress over there, but think about it. There's no team that was totally always undefeated. They never had a moment, even every box, even the best of them. They all had a moment in the ring when they were getting pummeled nearly to death. Even the best of them. There is no... never a bad moment. Many minutes after the hour here on the program, cocooning from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces. The one, the only, accept no substitutions. Here we are at 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. Get involved. Tell what you think. What do you think? What do you feel? You bastards, what do you feel? Get involved with the cause. This program is brought to you by Organic OK, the one and only, accept no substitutions. And check out Maya Harrison's stuff. She's online. She got everything going, like a true entrepreneur. Like Organic does, I think. All right. I basically rallied all the vagrants around there. Okay. I didn't really rally them. I went to them all individually. They were usually in clusters. And I tried to tell them to keep fighting for all this whatever. To fight. Stand their ground. I told them literally to be together. I told them to unite. I told them to fight for that cause, brother. Fight for it. I told them to be friends, brothers, and countrymen. And I told them to basically make sure, fight for the right basically to sleep wherever. This is your paradise too. To basically fight to make it so you guys can at least sleep in your cars. I wonder if I could basically round up a bunch of them, make it so they could all share a motel room, a hotel room, something. I wanted some of them to meet Organic OK, but I was a little hesitant about taking them back to the hotel room. Don't get the wrong idea. I just wanted to find out where I'm living. They might say, well, how are you homeless? You have all this, and you basically try to convince me by fake fraud. Anyway, I went back to the hotel. I went back to my freaking hotel room. And I told Organic OK everything. He's like, you did a good job. You did a good job. He says, you did a damn good job. You did everything you were supposed to do. Look, every stand-up comedian isn't going to kill at every room they play. Imagine the workers of the greatest comic. Imagine them playing in a certain environment, venue. This ain't what they want to hear. This isn't their audience. You know what I mean? Know what I mean? And I smiled and said, yeah. And I started to basically, I went out the door, basically off my evening walk, talked to a few more people. I walked out of the hotel. I looked at past, we stayed in a nice hotel. The gym, some of this, the pool, jacuzzi and stuff. I wanted to use some of this stuff before we went. I had to say that much. I started to walk out, and all of a sudden, it hit me like a ton of bricks, maybe more so harder. There was one of the vague people that I recognize. It's like, there you are. I followed you here. You live here? No, I'm staying here. I thought you were homeless. We are. That's why we're staying in this hotel room. How can you afford a hotel if you're homeless? No, listen. This guy, he's going around trying to help the cause, help homeless people. He's homeless himself. And he's trying to help the cause. You understand? He's not homeless. He's rich. You're rich? No, I'm not rich, man. He's helping us all because we're helping this cause or whatever. Yeah, right. It's true. What? I don't believe this. I was so afraid about basically letting everyone know where I'd stay now it had happened. All of a sudden, just like there, this woman had come up and said, who are you exactly? Told her who I was. I told my whole story. I told her everything I'd seen on the road so far as we were trying to save these people. I told her everything. I told her every dang little thing. We talked until the sun came up. I'd tell you, but, you know, we have to eat up basically a great deal rest of time having a previously on Kakuna from the microphone. Told her all about it. She said to me, sounds like you've really been through something. Yeah, I have. I was dying. I don't know. It is beautiful out here. But I haven't been indulging myself with everything Honolulu has to offer. Breaking myself at both ends and in the middle, hurting myself up and down, trying to get you all to march towards the cause. And it's like you haven't all been doing that. I mean, what is it you want, actually? Another question is, what do you want? Everything. Fine for the cause. No. Not what that man in there is trying to get you to do for him, for his public. What do you want? I want to take a break. I want to relax and enjoy some of Honolulu. I know I'm poor, but you know, I mean, it's his money. I'm just, shh, come with me. This seems strangely familiar. And then I remember this is what happened to me. Her, in Antigua, the West Indies, is happening again. Took her by the hand. She was a tour guide. She took me all around. She showed me how beautiful these beaches are and what it was like. You know what? It was a lot easier taking a tour, relaxing, enjoying this, like the tourists, like the guys who come in there and pay money. This instead of having to be like some dang, some sorry messenger running around trying to tell everybody. And the thing is, they know the sky is falling. They know the sky is falling. It already has. But some people don't want to be saved. Either that or they don't believe. They almost want, I mean, I knew people on that street who just wanted to die right there and then leave their corpse right there just to spite the people who for throwing them there in the first place. And I understand. God, I understand. I don't know. You know what? I was having a good night. I wonder if feces would miss. I wondered if organic okay would miss me, but nah, probably not. I think he'd like the fact that probably that he has the room and the bed to himself. But was I playing around? I mean, I wasn't exactly going out there and hustling. No, no. I did what I was supposed to. It was time for me to enjoy myself. This is kind of fun. She led me even to a place where basically, get this, the old cliche, the biggest cliche you think in all of Hawaii, there were places where they were basically all wearing Hawaiian t-shirts, which I soon learned was really something that mostly just the tourists did, and they got laid. Hold on a second, I know what you're thinking. This is a family show, but no, really, they put a wreath of flowers around their necks. There was even somebody who was swirling a flaming baton, and there was a luau. Pig poking everything. Pig on the stick and whatever, all that. She took me by the hand and led me there. I was served. I was fed. And as I looked around, there were a few other vagrant people who were too. I asked her, why did you do this for me? You really tried to help us. It's time for you to get what you want. Well, all right. This time I was the passenger. I wasn't the one driving. Besides, this felt all right. What's left to say? We basically started opening up and talking all about, I told you all about my whatever. Let me tell you a little bit about hers, good people, hers. All her hopes and dreams and visions. Still. We spent the rest of the time just talking, opening up. You know, that late night bearing of souls when you start to open up and tell each other who you are. You know, it's funny. I know when we're kids, it's easier to make us happy and we're pleased by the simplest of things. But I think everybody should have that moment when a true bond is met, when you're just sitting there. You're talking to each other. And you just open and bare your soul. Adults do this sometimes, but they talk about nothing. Trivial. World events, blah, blah, blah. But she told me who she was. The Allen girl. Her name was Leigh. As in L-E-A-H. The fact that I'm making any laid jokes lets you know how serious I am at this point. Before I knew it, I was holding her hand and slowly put my arm around her. We were watching the sun come up. And get this. We also had, are you listening? Some of those island drinks also. Of course, this stuff really existed, but it's mostly for the tourists and for the rich people. Most people in Hawaii don't live very much different than we do in the rest of the U.S., the main isle. Before I was new, no, and I was a little intoxicated, and I started kissing her. We started kissing. Hard. Vigorously, actually. And then, honestly, we started just making out there. Making out. Oh, man. It was perfect. It was beautiful. It was right. I remember thinking, you know, it's funny. Normally when a guy is getting intimate, getting busy, and all he's thinking about is that, oh my God, I'm in here. I'm in. I'm doing this noise. I'm making this happen. I'm moving and shaking. I'm hustling and bustling. I'm making things move. I'm moving this like, you know. But I was thinking basically like when a woman, think about this. All I was doing was thinking, there's a million things run through my mind. Like, I wonder if he's going to miss me at the hotel. If I leave, is he going to leave me behind? Can I still go with him? Am I still making my mission? Am I doing what's right? Does he need me? Does he want me? Am I supposed to be? What am I doing? But another thing that came to mind is, you know what? I have totally, completely, and utterly put the girl from the West Indies behind me. Was she beautiful? In a way, it's a good feeling. I know I was nuts there. Maybe this is another case of I fell for the island girl. You know how it is. Sometimes you meet somebody on an island, you get island fever, you want to stay there forever, and whatever. And sometimes a guy is just so happy that a girl, you know, she gave him some kind of notice. He's ready to call her the one. Was I just in such need? Was it the island? But even, I remember my father, man, he always told me, son, I was a jock in high school, a real jock. Unlike, I was on teams, so I'd fail a lot of women. But your mother was really right. Let me tell you something. I want to marry the first one that comes along. No. I mean, you're only one of those people who basically just, you know, suggest the first thing that comes along just because you're afraid there are no other options. Because sometimes when you do that, that love thing isn't in the cards. And you know what? I like to believe that I was here right now because we're opening up and it was special. It was something. We didn't know each other. And then we're gone. And before I knew what had happened, I was kissing, making out with her, wanted to take it farther, and she said, no, I can't. Why not? I have a boyfriend. I could not believe what I just heard. It's now 45 minutes after 10 o'clock hour here on Cocooning from the Microphone. Call in. Tell me what you think about that. We're at 515-605-9709. 515-605-9709. Now, here's the thing. Did you really just have a boyfriend? Or was just an excuse? Is this like saying, I just remembered I'm married. I just remembered I'm gay. I just remembered I have a terminal illness. Well, you might if you go any further. Was she just giving me a block? As we started to make out a little bit more, intimately, she started to push me off and then said, no, listen. I'm sorry, I have a boyfriend. I wanted to ask, then what have we been doing? I want to ask, why'd you let me get this far? But I didn't want to seem ungrateful. I said, where is he? She said, I don't know. He's been going off like crazy lately, and I don't know where he is, and that's why I invited you to this. I wasn't quite sure. I mean, being a guy, you know, it said, okay, fine, you got a boyfriend. I still want to go farther. I don't want to say all that. But I didn't just quite want to stop everything and go back to trying to save all of Honolulu, because it didn't look like a lot of them wanted to be saved, or at least didn't want to do something for, I say that did this to him. Here's the thing. I didn't personally know what to do at this point. Part of me thought I'd just get away before any boyfriend, if he existed, caught us together. But another part of me was thinking to myself, you know what? Let me just sit back here and ride the wave. Another part of me said, you know what? Finish your food and your drink and just melt. That was a good idea. It was better than a good idea. It was an idea I was going to do. I got 12 minutes in the show to go, but I'm trying to tell you, what else can I tell you? So much started going through my mind at once. I thought that, you know, I mean, I told you I've been on the street, and I heard of people who hooked up on the street. It was just them against the rest of the world. They became kind of a couple by default. I heard of basically someone who just got kicked on the street, and then someone came in there and welcomed them into their tribe and whatever. But a lot of stuff like that. What was I going to say? If there really is a boyfriend, leave him for me? Did I love this girl? Was it just Honolulu? This luau, this food, an alcoholic drink. Hey, was that it? Was that just drunk? I thought, okay, I'm going to wait till this passes, and then I'm going to head back to the hotel. I wonder if I could pass out. I was afraid to fall asleep. I know I had been on the street before, but the thing is, I either slept in Winnebago or in some hotel that Organic had provided for me and the rest of the pack. I knew we'd be reunited one way or another. I knew. Sure enough, we were. Next morning, I found myself walking back to the hotel. Had to talk to him face to face. I don't know. I just don't know. You tell me. A lot or a little. I basically found myself back at the hotel. I told him everything had happened. He said, oh, met another island girl out there, did you? You think she really had a boyfriend? I don't know, man. Probably. Thought she was a vagrant, but maybe she is, but looking to catch you two together. Even if he's making time with another woman, how do you think he's going to feel when he sees you with a woman that's his? It was his woman first. She may be just trying to get rid of you. Maybe those of you guys were just going too far or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Look, I try to tell you. Look, let's put that aside for a second. I had fun. Maybe that's all that matters. Yeah, it is. I went around to everybody else, and I just told them about the cause, and they're doing so much wrong here to vagrants in Honolulu, Hawaii, maybe even Hawaii, the entire state of, that they didn't want to really try and pick up. But you talked to them, right? You were in some call. Okay, it's good, it's good. You know, so you got everybody talking. You got people talking. You got them working. You got them doing all that. You know what that means? It means you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. I told you before, they ain't all going to listen. He was right. You know, I wonder if basically this second, I don't know if you want to call it a romance, but it was something that caught me, that had me, you know, it just had me wondering. Wondering. Was I actually gonna meet somebody on the street? And if I was, would it work out? Or was I just settling? Is that thing we call love a real thing? I began to wonder if my heart was broken or if I was really just so disappointed because I want to get a little more than that. Maybe something wrong with me. Not every guy is going to have that je ne sais quoi, that vibe that has girls sort of given themselves to him. You know? Never need to be a heartbreaker. It just might be nice to know that somebody was interested in me. I don't know. What am I to do? What any of us to do? I like to believe that in the end, even though we're all kind of fools, there is hope. I don't know how much longer we're going to be in Honolulu. I want to enjoy it. And basically, I made an institution. Get people to pick up a little bit of that garbage. Once again, I told the people. I said, okay, if you just pick up some garbage, they see you doing that, maybe they'll relax the rules for the homeless just a little bit. They didn't want to hear it. They wouldn't listen. You know that phrase we all say at a certain age, if only I knew then what I know now. If only I did. Yeah, but if you didn't go through all this, how would you know it? I don't know. Do you think it's possible to find love on the street? Like, you're the one, and basically, I remember hearing relationships that usually begin under the most intense circumstances, they burn out. It's like building something. Try to start out too big, too fat, it's all going to come crashing down. I knew a lot of people in high school who had a lot of those flashes in the pan. Not sort of liked it, just having a lot of fun real quick. But of course, if we're going to be interested, he has to give off that special kind of vibe. Could I? I wonder if I could. It was rather insane. I had trouble sleeping that night. I basically wanted to talk to Organic once again about the girl, but I know we're here for something. You know what? Maybe it's better to have one of those romances that isn't going to last. Just have fun. I wasn't ready to become an old person just yet, you know? What can you say about me except for the fact that we went back there and down there we made a difference? We're in Honolulu a long time. A long time. You know, it's amazing. I look around and see how much time has passed. And I kind of wish I was something different. Somebody different. But in a way, we all want that, don't we? Me personally, I always wanted to be the guy I wanted to be. When I was a kid, I didn't really have heroes. I didn't put anybody up on a pedestal. There was a guy inside me, the ideal guy, and that's the guy I wanted to be every single step of the day. I think everybody should, but in a way, I was a very unique. Organic kept trying to convince me that I was a special kind of hero, whatever. And I went to sleep that night thinking I did. I was. And making out with a little bit with a woman who turned out to have somebody herself. Well, that was my reward. And despite all that, that was missing. I did make a difference out there. Come to the end of our program here, cocooning from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces, the one, the only. We're at 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. This program is brought to you by Organic OK. What I have something to say about this. Now, tune in for tomorrow's episode. And in a way, I think it might be actually, I'm not trying to remember. I think it was actually the conclusion of what happened in Honolulu. Hit yourself for what happens then. As far as I say at that point, I just spent my night thinking, I wanted to go out with more of a bang. A huge bang. An epic bang. Multiple. I wanted to basically make a huge impact in Honolulu, Hawaii. And I felt like I'd only just scratch it. I can't leave without making a real impact. Forget about her. I need to do something. Something epic. It's 10:58 on the dot here. I wanted to, what's the word I'm looking for here? I wanted to make my mark on Honolulu. 10:59. Find out basically what we did here. Find out what I did next week. Thanks for listening. No. Find out next episode, which is tomorrow. Right here on Kakuna from the microphone. Good night.